Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And good morning, everyone. We have James Fallows today on the Obama Healthcare Summit, Larry Levy today on city-suburb cooperation in our area, Krista Tippett today on God and Albert Einstein, her new book, and the author of a book called Plato's Podcasts about the great philosophers and their relevance to today's fast-paced world. But first, we have WNYC's Bob Henley to help us understand the developing situation surrounding Governor Patterson this morning. The governor has asked Attorney General Andrew Cuomo to investigate him and his close advisor David Johnson and the state police in response to this morning's New York Times article about their role in an alleged domestic violence incident between Johnson and his girlfriend. The governor appeared on WOR earlier and didn't say much.
What I'm going to tell you is that I've now turned this over to the Attorney General. This is now an investigation. I want to get to the bottom of it, and he wants to get to the bottom of it. And the best thing for me is that the actual facts come out.
Governor Patterson on WOR. Good morning, Bob Henley.
Good morning.
So for all the talk about New York Times bombshells that weren't really bombshells over the last couple of weeks, is this it?
I would say so, because it puts the governor at the center of potentially tampering with or trying to influence an individual who is alleging they were a victim of domestic violence, followed up by what is a visit from the State Police Executive Protection Unit to talk with her when they had no jurisdiction, and his own evasiveness on John Gambling this morning. It just doesn't bode well. And this has been a longstanding problem with the so-called Praetorian Guard of the state police going back to Pataki.
And we'll get to the state police in a minute, but I want to get right to the question of whether there is any possible wrongdoing on the part of the governor himself, criminally or ethically, because before Johnson's girlfriend was supposed to go to court against Johnson on February 8th, she and the governor had some kind of phone conversation, apparently, and then she didn't show up in court, which led to the charges being dropped. So can we zero in on what is being reported or claimed about that phone call?
There seems to be some dispute about who initiated the phone call now back and forth, but the one thing that's been confirmed in the paper is that the Executive Protection Unit, a member of that group that protects the governor, went to see this young woman, and that is wholly inappropriate by any standard.
That would happen before that February 7th or 1st through 7th phone call.
And this is referred to in the paper by current Superintendent Corbett, who says, according to the Times, something to the effect that we never pressured her in the least. What I was advised, we never pressured her not to press charges. We just gave her options. That is wholly inappropriate. This was under the jurisdiction of the NYPD. The state police have no jurisdiction there.
Because she was in New York City, the complaint was in New York City.
Exactly.
So NYPD would have jurisdiction, and the state police, and in particular, that unit of the state police that specifically is close to the governor, protects the governor.
Right.
Somebody from there, or more than one person from there, went to the home of this woman to tell her, quote, about her options.
Right. And it's interesting that Mr. Superintendent Corbett went on the record. This is something that was raised, ironically, Attorney General Cuomo, who's now been brought in by the governor to investigate this, which is wholly appropriate. Of course, it's ironic that it's his major political rival at this point. But Attorney General Cuomo, was asked by Patterson early when he came in to do a review of the state police and the implications that perhaps there was some kind of political component to the way the state police at that executive protection level were operating. And Cuomo produced a report that was jaw-dropping, where he was able to document going back to when Pataki was governor, when that unit was headed by a Daniel Weiss, that back in 1995, the same unit was involved with doing an investigation into a break-in of Pataki campaign headquarters in Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. So clearly,
break-in of whose headquarters?
Pataki's headquarters. So clearly,
Pataki's state police broke into Pataki's.
No, looking to see who had broken into the headquarters there. And so what you have is the need for a bright line for the state police in this very politically sensitive unit to understand that when it has to do with a pending criminal matter, you have to be respectful of the jurisdiction.
And then Governor Spitzer and the scandal involving him and Joe Bruno
right.
had something to do
right.
with use of the state
exactly.
police.
Exactly. In that case, you had what was alleged was that they called it Trooper Gate, that Superintendent Preston Felton, Acting Superintendent Preston Felton, at the instruction of political operatives in the Spitzer administration, created documents to basically show that Joe Bruno was improperly and illegally using state the aircraft, and then leaked them to the newspapers. And so one of the findings that Cuomo found was that there should not be the use of the state police at this level to kind of create political agitprop. This is not what they're about.
But I want to emphasize that you said the use of the state police at this level, because
right.
I don't want to get sidetracked into a conversation about whether the state police themselves have an independent scandal that spans several administrations. The question here is, what did Governor Patterson order the state police
right.
to do?
And if he even had knowledge of it, because we have to understand that one of his close confidants and aides is Clemmy Harris, who is a former retired state trooper. We still don't know, and that's what would be the thing that Attorney General would have to really hone in on. At what point, if ever, did Governor Patterson instruct his executive protection unit to go and visit this woman? That would be an overt act. Is it possible that somebody acting in the interest of the governor and on behalf of Mr. Johnson unilaterally did it? That is possible.
And I also don't want to jump to any conclusions here. For example, a website called Nitpicker, that's NYT Picker, it picks nits with the New York Times, notes that the governor's office is quoted saying the phone call took place on February 7th, the day before her scheduled court date. The woman's lawyer would only say sometime between February 1st and 8th. And Nitpicker notes that her attorney is a personal injury lawyer. So maybe this is nitpicking, but does the date range of the governor's own phone call with the woman versus the specific date of the night before the scheduled court appearance, does that matter potentially to the governor's responsibility for anything?
Well, I think what was in the mind of the alleged domestic violence victim, I mean, clearly, what did she take away from that conversation from Governor Patterson? It seems that the lawyer, speaking on her behalf, didn't put too much heavy weight on that. But then the question is, why didn't she go for her date as required? And that's a question that I'm sure Cuomo will get to the bottom of.
And there is a question of who initiated that phone call, Johnson's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, or we just keep calling her the woman because she doesn't want her name used in the media. We don't know her name. But a question of who initiated the call, she or the governor, and it's possible that she called first and the governor called her back. Is that important?
To some degree it is, but again, I keep coming back to if the governor has a situation where he initiated the call out of the blue, that doesn't look very good. If he's responding back to her, that could even be problematic. The question is, was there a collaborative effort to try to clean this up? That's what Cuomo has to find out. And how wide did it range? What did the governor know and when did he know it?
To
it's kind of classic.
And just to get to basics here, to try to clean this up would mean the governor intervening in an inappropriate way to get this woman to back down on domestic violence charges against her boyfriend, the governor's closest aide.
Right, because at this point, one of the key things is the Times and the newspapers are always looking for independent corroboration in terms of court documents. And if you can prevent that from being filed, you've gone a long way to so-called cleaning up the mess.
We have one listener calling in. If anybody has a question, we just have a few minutes left with Bob Henley right now. But listeners, are you concerned about this? Is this the media going crazy? Is this Governor Patterson very much under suspicion? Have you read carefully the New York Times article, 212-433-WNYC? Frank in Brooklyn. Frank, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Brian, how are you?
Okay.
I believe the media should be calling for an investigation by the U.S. attorney on this matter. There are federal laws in play to ensure that domestic violence victims have a right to have their grievances heard by the courts, and they're not supposed to have undue influence by political or law enforcement persons. And it's very clear that these are federal laws that have been violated. And rather than sit and talk about Cuomo handling it, where that's going to be mired in the fact that who's running against who, I would hope that the media would use their influence and fight for the U.S. attorney to
investigate. Because that's where
it's very clear you're talking about the highest levels.
yes. within this political structure.
You're saying that's where the independence would be unquestionable.
Well, it's also federal laws that have been violated, and I think if there was some research done relative to that, it's very clear that under federal laws, which were established because in the past politicians have used their influence to have domestic violence cases like this suppressed, we would certainly see mm-hmm. something which should be looked at.
Okay.
The caller raises a really good point. And as a matter of fact, the state police unit, one of the things that Cuomo produced was the role in the state police in Congressman Sweeney's problems with reporting around the domestic violence circumstance there about documents getting out and who told, what do they have this access to information and confidential information. And so they have to be very judicious with it. And they have to really just be worried about protecting the governor and his family. They somehow over the years have been permitted to kind of get off of that very narrow mandate. And one of the things, too, here is it is a good point. We're in the middle of this political season where you have the potential rival of the governor, Andrew Cuomo, now investigating the person that is the incumbent. So clearly, if there was ever a moment for intervention by the U.S. attorney, it probably is now.
And politically, how ironic that Patterson had to ask or chose to ask Andrew Cuomo, his likely rival for governor, to investigate him. Where does that leave either of them?
Well, I think it puts Cuomo in a situation where he also has to deal with the fact that I had asked him, the attorney general, about this report because there were so many things that were flapping in the breeze. Some of the top officials.
The report he issued about the state police.
Back in September, he issued that report during the State of the State. Just recently, I saw Attorney General Cuomo, and I said, well, are you satisfied? Because there were many things referred to in this report where high-level individuals within the state police took the Fifth Amendment several times, and there was no follow-up. So I said to him, well, are you satisfied with this? And he said, the matter is closed. So he has to revisit on his end why they didn't follow up and try to put some changes in place, bright line changes, if you will.
But on Patterson, does Cuomo put the governor under oath for a formal deposition, and how quickly? How much of that is known?
I think the other question here is whether or not there's any potential impeachable offense here, and is there a political climate, especially after what happened with Senator Montserrat, for partisans to raise that question?
And how quickly will this unfold?
Well, I think you're going to see it happen. Every news wave is going to bring another development here.
How long before the governor will have to address it? He didn't address it. He ducked it on WOR this morning.
Well, it comes at a very difficult time because he was going to do the big kickoff this coming weekend in Harlem because he's done, the launch of his campaign upstate, and it was supposed to come this weekend. So it's going to be a very tense couple of days.
WNYC's Bob Henley. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.